So today I'm at Debenhams Ottaway, our legal experts, and I'm talking to Claire Sharp. She's a partner here and she's head of the trust team as well. So today I really want to find out, Claire, all about trusts. So let's start at the beginning. What is a trust?
A trust, essentially, is a legal concept, and it is when you appoint people to be trustees. You appoint them to look after assets for somebody else. So the trustees hold the assets, but they don't own them, and the people that they look after them for are the beneficiaries, and they essentially own the underlying asset. And it's set up by the way of a document, and that might be a document that you create in your lifetime, but it also might be something that arises under your will. Right. And those are the most two most common ways in which trusts are created.
So could you talk me through both of those?
Yes. So essentially, the decision is made that assets need to be held on trust, and that could be for a variety of reasons. Essentially, trusts are about controlling the assets, because otherwise, why wouldn't you, if you want to benefit your children, for example, why wouldn't you just give them, either in your will or during your lifetime, the assets that you want to give them? But the reason you might introduce a trust is about control and protection. So with children, for example, if they're very young, you might not want them to have assets outright. If they're very, very vulnerable for some reason, so often with disabled people, they may need a trust. Or there might be other family protection reasons why you want to retain control of the asset at the same time as holding it for the benefit of other people.
So, for example, I'm a single mum. I've got two children. They're 12 and 10. Mm-hmm. So could I do something now to put things in trust for them when they're 18 or 21? Or
yes, you could. So you might choose to do that in your will. So you might say, you know, it's a sensible thing to make a will. We should all make a will. I will put a trust in my will, and I will say that my children can have my assets should I die before they attain that particular age. They can have them when they reach 18, or some people like a bit older, you know, 21, 25 is not uncommon.
Yeah.
And then those assets will be held for them in trust until they attain the age that you've specified. But similarly, you could just decide in your lifetime that people often do it with things like property, maybe rental property or something like that, where they set it aside for children or other family members, and they put it into a trust and hold it for those persons until they either they attain an age or indefinitely until they're ready.
Right.
So it does. You know, a trust is multifaceted and can be varied. The terms of the trusts are very variable.
Do you have an example that you could kind of tell us about? What would be the most common trust that you would deal with?
Okay, so probably property trusts. So where people want to hold property, but they don't want it in their own name. So you might say, well, why would you want to do that? It comes back down often to tax planning. So you might own a property, not necessarily the one that you live in, but typically rental property. And you want to get that property out of your own estate because the value of it will increase the tax payable on your estate. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you don't want your beneficiary, your child, perhaps, to have that property in their own right, either because of their age or because there are other factors to take into account. And so you'd put it in a trust. You'd hold the asset. Trustees would hold the asset for them, and that we see quite a lot.
Right.
So yeah, in terms of the trust itself, they're complex. They're complex arrangements, and you can have all sorts of different types of trusts. So there's not just one set type of trust. There's all different types of trusts, and they're sort of legal people in their own right, if you like. A trust has its own legal identity, and it's also taxed as if it were a person. So it's a person in its own right, which is often a bit of a shock to people because trust taxation and trust law generally is very complicated. People often don't appreciate that. In years gone by, trusts were quite tax-friendly and they were often set up for tax reasons. In recent years, successive governments have sort of chipped away at that, and the taxation of trusts now is not nearly as advantageous as it once was. and it's really generally quite complicated. Mm. So you need to know what you're doing if you're dealing with trust, because you can fall foul of it.
So if somebody's already got one, is it worth them getting it checked to make sure?
Yeah, most definitely. And because the rules have changed so much in the last 10 years. I mean, trusts themselves, as I say, they are this sort of legal, taxable person in their own right. And they are subject to income tax, they're subject to capital gains tax, and they are subject to inheritance tax. And all of those three taxes interplay. Some, depending on the type of trust, will depend on which tax you're affected by. So it does vary.
Yeah.
But it's not straightforward, which is why, yes, by all means, get it checked out. And get the involvement of a professional if you feel that you need it.
Mm, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that probably brings me on to talk about trustees in general, because if you're creating a trust, either in your will or during your lifetime, then you'll want to give first consideration as to who the trustees should be.
Yeah.
Typically, you want at least two trustees, preferably three, but it's not unusual to have four. But three is a good number, because that means if anything happens to one of them, you've got two remaining.
And do they have to make decisions? So I guess if there's three, then you've got, if you've got a split, there's the deciding vote.
That deciding vote, you're quite right. They do, yeah. I mean, the trustees collectively together as a body are making decisions about the trust. And they're doing that in accordance with what the trust document itself says. So they're bound not only by the rules of trusts in law, but they're also bound by the rules that are set out in the trust document, whether that's in your will or a lifetime document. But choice of trustees is absolutely crucial, because it's quite an onerous role being a trustee. You know, there's certain duties and responsibilities that you have to follow. There's obviously all this taxation that you've got to comply with. So you need to know what you're doing. And it's the person creating the trust that chooses who the trustees should be. That might be a friend or family member, but typically you'll want to get a professional involved in that for those reasons as well. But it's good to have the family members involved, because they know the personal side of the beneficiaries, and the professional trustee can bring in the legal and the tax
side. So possibly one of each.
A combination of both is absolutely ideal.
Yeah.
And we work together. I mean, I act as a trustee on many, many trusts and work together with families to run those trusts, ultimately for the benefit of those beneficiaries, to make sure that they benefit in the way that the person setting it
wanted it to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So the professional trustees, you would appoint them at the same time as you wrote the trust, and that would all be documented?
You appoint your trustees at the outset, but they can be changed later on. So that often happens if somebody perhaps becomes too elderly and not able to deal with it anymore, or if somebody dies, then you'd need to replace them. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's possible for trustees to retire and for newer trustees to be appointed, but the starting point is what the person creating the trust wanted.
Yeah.
And then from then on, then decisions could be made about who the most sensible people are to run the trust.
How much say would the trustees get then if say, for example, you appointed three and then two of them bowed out in one way or another? Would the third one then get the decision about who then to appoint? Or
the way it usually works is that before the two that you refer to bow out, they collectively would decide who was going to replace them.
So there would be a kind of pattern of process?
I mean, there's normally a sensible choice as to who the next person would be. Obviously, if somebody's died, then is not possible. But typically there'll be somebody that obviously comes to mind as being the next most appropriate person. Mm. So, for example, if you've got one of the children as a trustee, together with a professional and maybe a family friend, then if another child came of age, perhaps you might say, well, let's bring them on board now, because that would be a sensible choice.
Yeah.
And it is possible to be a beneficiary and a trustee, but I certainly wouldn't recommend that only the beneficiaries were trustees, because that can lead to conflicts.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Ultimately, trusts tend to get created where there are issues. So where there are either vulnerable beneficiaries, difficulties in families, and reasons why the person creating it don't want that beneficiary or that range of beneficiaries to have the assets themselves. There's normally a reason behind that. Sometimes it is just age, but sometimes there are other reasons. There might be other factors in the family, divorces going on, things like that. And people think...
We all know what families are like.
We need to protect our family money from these outside factors, and that's why the wife comes in.
Of course. I'm sure you could tell me a great few stories off air.
Yes, indeed. So, but I mean, the important thing about having a professional in this, they're always going to be impartial. They're always going to be independent, and everything that you do with them is going to be confidential. So they're going to be able to deal with the different factions of the family fairly and impartially. And that's really important, because if you've got only one side of the family involved in some decision making, that can lead to tensions.
Of course.
Why should he make all the decisions and that sort of thing?
What an exciting job you've got, really.
Well, it is a great area to be in. I'm dealing with families and with people, which is great, and I love, and helping them through these complex issues. So this element
of control is raising its head, isn't it? It's the control of my things, and I need to protect that.
And I understand that, because people have spent their lives building up their wealth, these assets, and they want to make sure it's protected.
Of course.
For the very best reasons in most cases. So, that's what we're here to try and help with.
Claire Sharp, thank you so much for talking to us. I'm sure you've really helped a lot of people today. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.